Welcome to the World of the Future podcast. I'm Michael Kaduk. In this series, we will examine the continued importance of science fiction in our modern world. More than just what-if questions about technology and fantastical worlds, this will examine the important themes of these stories and how they fit into our modern cultural and political landscape. Today, we return yet again to Star Trek's Final Frontier. But this time, we're going to take a look out of the Q Continuum's textbook, Neurodiversity, defined by Humanities Harvard Medical School as the idea that people experience and interact with the world around them in many different ways. There is no one right way of thinking, learning, and behaving, and differences are not viewed as deficits. How does this apply to the time of the United Federation of Planets? Well, let's just say it's complicated. To start off, let's offer our analysis of one of the icons of the franchise, Mr. Spock. Since the original series, Spock's perceived lack of emotions has become iconic to his character, but the truth about him is much more complicated at a closer glance. Spock is someone who genuinely believes in good, he genuinely cares about others, but is very emotionally closed off from his friends and colleagues, believing emotion to be, in his mind, illogical. This is something members of the crew either find unusual, or in the case of Dr. McCoy, extremely cold and uncaring. Spock is constantly judging Captain Kirk's actions, telling him to stick within Starfleet's regulations instead of going outside the box, even with the best of intentions. But underneath this supposed cold exterior, Spock does have emotion, but the way he was born and raised make it extremely difficult for him to feel those emotions properly, because in his mind it means that he is being irrational or putting others at risk. The truth is, there's no problem with this, but Spock exercises it with very little regard for his own well-being. A good example of this is in the original series episode, Plato's Stepchildren, where Spock is forced against his will to become emotionally vulnerable, which is an act that is practically torture to the Vulcans.
He's a Vulcan! You can't force emotion out of him!
You must be joking, Doctor.
Destroy him.
We can't let him die laughing, can we?
Make you.
And this isn't the only example of Spock's supposed lack of emotions being used against him. Spock's way of perceiving and rejecting emotion is often used as an insult. Even when the crewmates are genuinely trying to convince him to do the right thing instead of stick to the mission, it comes off in such a manner that at some points, Spock can't help but lose control of his emotions in an unhealthy way, as seen in both the original series and J.J. Abrams' Star Trek movies, where he proceeds to fight both Dr. McCoy and Captain Kirk.
You listen to me, you pointed-eared Vulcan.
I don't like that. I don't think I ever did, and now I'm sure.
What's happening to you, Spock?
Nothing that shouldn't have happened long ago.
Do you back away from you me. Feel nothing! It must not even compute for you. You never loved her.
Spock being emotionally closed off is not a problem, as it more often than not reins in the impulsivity among the crew, and it helps the mission succeed. Spock's flaw is that he just obeys authority most of the time without concern for his own well-being, which is something the Enterprise crew doesn't come around to for a long time, so it's no surprise his few moments of using his emotions are self-destructive, even violent, as he internalizes other people's judgment of him as him being seen as an outcast. But Spock, being half-human, understands much more about what his crew members are going through more than they think. and that makes his eventual sacrifice to save his crew members and even Captain Kirk even more cathartic.
The needs of the many outweigh
the needs of the few.
Or the one. I have been, and always shall be, your friend.
But Spock isn't the only character who struggles due to other people's perceptions of him. There are many other characters who struggle with being accepted with their mental issues and anxieties. In The Next Generation, we have the character Reginald Barclay, an assistant to Geordi LaForge on the engineering deck, who is riddled with fear every day that he is disliked by the crew. To help him through this, Barclay uses several strategies to cope with his sense of worthlessness, including frequent visits to Counselor Troi. But the place he feels most himself without any judgment from others is the holodeck. I've covered the holodeck in my second episode, and how it could serve as a message as the dark side of technology. But for the most part, the holodeck is just an escape, a recreational place where members of the crew can settle down and enjoy themselves, not concerned about their work all the time. But Barclay's sense of self-loathing means he thinks the holodeck is the only place where he feels like he belongs, as the holographic people treat him much better than his actual human crewmates.
You don't know what a struggle this has been for me, Commander.
Well, I'd like to help if I can.
Being afraid all of the time of forgetting somebody's name, not knowing what to do with your hands. I mean, I am the guy who writes down things to remember to say when there's a party. And then when he finally gets there, he winds up alone in the corner, trying to look comfortable, examining a potted plant.
You're just shy, Barclay.
Just shy. Sounds like nothing serious, doesn't it? You can't know.
Many people disliked Barclay due to him being overly nervous and saw him almost like a freak. His only reason for being on the Enterprise and not being kicked off was because Captain Picard encouraged Geordi to help boost his confidence. Barclay is a committed member of the crew, it's just that his introverted nature makes it harder for him to engage with others. Barclay understandably uses the holodeck to not only escape, but engage with it in ways he doesn't have the confidence to do so with real humans. He develops an unhealthy sexual addiction to the programs of Troi and Dr. Crusher. When he feels like nobody on the crew cares about his well-being, he uses the holodeck to simulate getting back at those who look down on him, such as one where he physically attacks Geordi and Commander Riker in order to get back at them in some way for their lack of empathy.
This is insubordination, Mr. Barclay.
Here's to insubordination.
Riker, you're nothing but a pretty mannequin in a fancy uniform. You're full of hot air. Picard has a problem with me. You tell him to come and talk to me himself.
Geordi and the other crew members don't have it out for him, unlike Kirk and McCoy did for Spock. They value him for his dedication, but just like Spock, they don't seem to understand or respect the fact that he is riddled with extreme anxiety, which makes it very difficult for Barclay to feel like he is listened to, even when he's doing all he can to protect the crew, such as in the episode when he tries to save the crew from an interdimensional creature within the transporter beam, and nobody bothers to listen to him. There is another example of Barclay's mental state and his use of technology to compensate that I'm conflicted about. In the episode The Nth Degree, Barclay's IQ increases by a massive level due to an alien probe, which makes him more confident and bonds him with the Enterprise computer against his will. He does make clear the fact that he believes the crew are scared of him, which he couldn't put into words before, but this episode doesn't really get that further beyond that, not showing much empathy towards him after that. The truth is that Barclay, even while being controlled, is expressing his actual fear that because of his introverted nature, people are afraid of him. This is a devastating but real thing people like Barclay feel in the world. That nobody cares about you if you're too fearful, or that they just don't want to bother to help with your anxieties. And the thing is, the episode doesn't involve the characters apologizing to him at all, showing again no empathy. It's the lack of empathy that's the real issue at hand, not the person's mental state. And this lack of empathy has the reverse effect, turning damaged people into even more unstable and sometimes even violent individuals. Jumping back in time to the original series, in the episode, Whom Gods Destroy, Captain Kirk is sent to help a doctor test an experimental serum on patients of a galactic equivalent to an insane asylum. The patients are clearly delusional, most notably a pompous, murderous former Starfleet captain who now goes by the name Lord Garth. Garth is very much a cartoonish character with his larger-than-life narcissism that I'm sure even the Q continuum would find too much, but Kirk still genuinely wants to help him. Even after Garth tortures him and Spock and kills his own lover Marta, Kirk tries to help him.
But you're a sick man now, sir.
I have never been more healthy.
No. No, think. Think back to what you were. You were the finest student at the Academy. The finest starship captain. You were the prototype, the model for the rest of us.
Yes, I do remember that.
You bore it well. And the disease that changed you, it's not your fault. And the terrible things you did since then, not truly responsible.
I don't want to hear anymore. You're weak. You're trying to drain me of my strength.
No, I'm not. I want you to find what you once had. I want you to go back to the greatness that you've lost, Captain Garth.
I am Lord Garth, master of the universe.
Kirk is able to get the cure Garth needs to help with the illness that made him lose control of his mind, but the episode is still held back by its limitations. Like, it follows the medical model of eugenics I talked about in my first episode. A little known fact, the episode was actually banned in the UK for depictions of what the BBC called unpleasant subjects of madness, torture, sadism, and disease. This episode did try and show people with even the worst kind of mental conditions that they were still human and worthy of fundamental decency. But the fact that it was banned is truly a symbol of the lack of empathy that still persists towards many people who really, they just need help. Recognizing that they are human beings and not a problem. But that isn't where the story ends. As in the more recent ones, characters whose behavior and mental states were viewed as suspicion and fear are being represented much better. Barclay and Spock may be optimistic symbols for people who are introverted and interact with others differently, but neurodiversity is something much more complex, and that is something I applaud the new series for expressing. In Star Trek Discovery, we have the character of Saru, an alien who is mentally distinct from the rest of the crew, but after discovering that this is a handicap imposed by his planet's government, he learns to think for himself, reminding himself that his vast knowledge isn't a weakness, and that he shouldn't be concerned with others' views of him to accept himself. Spock, in the newer movies, is able to learn that feeling anger, sadness, and pain isn't something to be ashamed of, just as Kirk learns that Spock's orderly personality isn't a problem at all, as he admits his reliance on emotional thinking also has its drawbacks.
The Enterprise and her crew need someone in that chair that knows what he's doing. And it's not me. It's you, Spock.
And in Star Trek Picard, we see the Borg, the ruthless supposed hive mind of mindless drones, getting help for their condition, helping Captain Picard also heal from his own trauma of being assimilated, and realizing that in the end,
the Borg are not monsters, they're victims.
Empathy is something that is in short supply these days. Many people who are introverted or riddled with anxieties, mental disabilities, and neuroses find it difficult to find self-acceptance, be it in their workplace, their community, or even their own homes. If we can ultimately just accept that people are who they are, regardless of how different it is or difficult they might be to deal with, we not only help them, but we can help ourselves. Take it from an extremely anxious college student who has for years been dealing with severe anxieties and fear that people don't like me. As long as I know that there are people who understand, if I can accept that what makes me different isn't a weakness, then I am able to accept that I still matter. And to any of you out there who are in a similar situation like me, let me remind you that you will always matter. You just have to have the courage to accept your inherent worth so that you can make the choice to continue on, no matter how difficult the road may be. Tune in for the fifth episode of World of the Future, where we will examine the Mass Effect trilogy and about the galaxy-wide impact that choices have on the world. This has been Michael K. logging out.